I can let go, to drown and sink down, but there's a place that then is still like not surrendering, but struggling more with like submission. So there's something, it's not open, expansive surrender, but this really painful place that frames it more as submission. And I just feel like the weight of the ocean on me. So even though there's some layers of letting go, there's still a place of holding that is, wanting air and feeling so much pressure.
Mm-hmm. On my journey, I spoke about something similar where the air is actually taken from you and you do feel like you're being suffocated. And it is submission, so you're using the right word. But I also find that if there's any lingering doubt in consciousness about this die before you die, you'll have to go back and address that, because this usually happens when there is a certainty. Like your yes is not wavering any longer. You've arranged your life in such a way that, it'll be easier for you to do this submission. But I think I heard you say earlier that you have a newborn. So you might be feeling that for a while. You usually have to be quite present for that activity. But I also speak about how, for a lot of women, the child can become the beloved, and that's what you absorb yourself in for many years. So your practice could be there. And also, this potential that we speak about, and what was also what I read, that you can instill in your child some of this revelation that comes to you through your meditation about, what this new world is, so that you don't impose upon them the system that most of us sit in and we've had to break free of. So you have a very important work now, because these younger children, a lot of them are holding the new consciousness. They don't have the kind of conditioning that we have. So they're quite free still. So your attention may be somewhere else, which could perhaps relieve some of the pressure that you feel. Yeah. Resistance, which to me there's still some doubt. And I mean, like I said, perhaps your doubt is that you have a child now, and it's kind of hard to go out in the ocean that way and dive too deeply, because you do have to be very present. But it doesn't mean that you can't be absorbed to a degree. I think also, a lot of the teachers are speaking that it might look very different also. The answer I just gave you is from my experience, and so what happened to me when I found myself in that position, and when that certainty came, I know what happened to me after that, and so I can't imagine that I could raise a child in that state. But who knows, you may be asked to do that, if you're going to be holding any of this energy that's going to be needed for the transition. So But I would say look at the idea of doubt and certainty and what is around that.
Could you speak a little bit about how you see the feminine role in what is happening globally? What is the work of the feminine?
The question I always ask people is any time that they're in a situation where they feel that the potential for them to make a change, whether it's in a boardroom or any situation at all, if you're at your community center and you're making decisions for your community, to ask yourself, do you feel her presence at the table? And if you don't, then it's, if you have any awareness of what her presence at the table means, then it's up to you to speak up and say, wait a minute, you know, where is the compassion? Where is the mercy? Where is the kindness? How many generations can we go back with this particular project that we're trying to put into action? You know, all the different kinds of, you know, because when you're out there in the world in a certain way, there is a language around what you do. So there is a way for you to say certain things within the parameters so that everyone in the room will understand what you're saying. And so it's coming from this place of unity and oneness where, you know, the divine feminine as well as the divine masculine aspect is being, hopefully, is present. I mean, you know, we can look out there and say there's absolutely no way anything's present in our decision-making process right now with our government or in our schools or that kind of thing. But when you as an individual have an opportunity where you can put forth something that has insight and intuition, which are two qualities that belong to her. And then if you have the ability to also bring the quality of logic, which belongs to him, to the table, then you can really make some progress when you're changing structures that exist. And it's also when something is revealed to you about her and her original face and him and his original face, if you really make an effort to integrate it into your life and use it in your life, make it applicable in your life so that it doesn't just stay a theory that you've gotten a really good glimpse of. Because glimpses are fleeting until you put them into action in some kind of way. So earlier when Llewellyn was speaking, you know, are you a mystic that is going to be able to engage with what is going to come? Are you one that's going to sit in your chair and watch it all unfold before you? And I would say the feminine principle has a lot to offer in all of this decision making that's going to be going on. And so if you've developed any of her qualities within yourself and you are able to use them, it would be wise to do that because it will help with the transition for sure. And, you know, I'm one of the ones who I'm not sure if I'm going to see the fruit of all of this in my lifetime, but I hope your children will. You know, because for a long time now, I haven't really talked very much about she. My retreats aren't about that. But for some reason, I was to collect what I read to you all for a reason. And I don't know if she's gone back to sleep in you or not. But she's back, and she's pushing again. So we'll see. But he's there with her now. It's very different than before. She's not alone. She's his true face, her true face. They're working together. It's a huge push now. So she must have gotten enough ground at least. So we'll see. She has to, or else it won't go on the tape. Not that I have much luck with things going on tape, but.
I was just wondering if you could speak to a little bit more about the six pillars of wisdom that were in the poem.
Everything around her that I know of is an oral tradition. So I've presented you with the idea that there's these pillars for her as well. And some of you know that, you know, some of the pillars from different traditions, like this weekend, some people are observing the fast if you sit in Islam, because it's one of it's what happens during Ramadan, and it's one of the pillars. But everything around her up to this point is being revealed to people. So, you know, in the beginning when I was working people, when the unknown she was kind of being released into consciousness, people were getting a lot of information around her. So it's something that you sit in. I don't think any of this is ever going to be systematized, organized in the way that a lot of the things around he is. We're not going to have that kind of understanding of her, because so much comes through insight, intuition, and revelation. So you've asked yourself this question. So you can go and sit in meditation with the intention of asking her, what is that? And I don't know if your six pillars are going to be the same as her six pillars. You'll find out in yourself. Now, you may come across a teacher who is speaking about her and will present those to you, but it's not me, because she's to stay in unknown. You are to reveal her to yourself. But if there is any kind of theoretical, because I'm talking about her before she had a face. So I'm not talking about the goddess. I'm not, any name or attribute that she has on this plane is not really where I would love everyone to be sitting. She's from before the beginning. So she's, you know, in that universal, really before the universal even. It's a deep, deep dive. And it's the unknown. And, you know, when this woman presented that, you know, there was this submission, I don't really want to talk to her about the unknown she, because she has a child. Because it could also be that it's the unknown that is, you know. But it's a transformational energy. But yet, on another level, I trust that because she's quite wise, that she'll be able to do it for you in a way where you can still raise your children. But this particular quality of the unknown she, it's in the silence of the night comes the unknown she whispering sweetly, come dance with me. And if you RSVP for that particular dance, you know, everyone who has been undone to a certain degree until they're ready to, you know, maybe they did the cha-cha-cha and now the mambo is going to be required. So go within and, you know, turn towards the eternal light and see what comes to you. We've relied far too long on what's in books to tell us about our journey home. We're all in exile. We all know that. We all want to return. We all know that. But we've been listening to other people tell us how to do this. And so you had years of not taking steps that were obvious for you because they didn't seem like what the theoretical stuff said to do. So, you know, if, you know, we turned our intuition off, we let our insight go. It's another way. You know, it said that, you know, turn in this way, walk in the way of insight. It is a way.
When you started speaking, you asked if there were any Buddhists, and mm-hmm. in the context of, I guess, a mind.
Yeah, if you're.
Could you elaborate on that, please?
Well, the first part of my journey, everything was in mind. You were really, you know, the truth that set you free. So you were using an emptying out process. So I think for a Buddhist, it would be stilling your mind. And because I've never had a Buddhist practice, I can't really address this question. It's just that I know that it's just another technique or another method, and the destination is the same. It's just like when people, you know, want to come to a retreat that I'm doing with my students, and I have to say no, you know, I have to go through the whole explanation of, well, you know, you want to get in my boat for the day, and, you know, you've just left your boat, and what's that about? And, you know, it just gets so complicated because of technique and method, and that's all it really is. I mean, some people are stilling their minds first. In a heart meditation, you're usually just bypassing it altogether. You ignore it until it finally stops, you know, doing this. So it's just a technique. I don't know enough about Buddhism to really know the difference between, but I know that when I sit with Buddhists that we have beautiful meditations, and as far as I'm concerned, we're all in our heart, but, you know, and they may say, oh no, we're all in our mind. So I think it's really the same. It's just because a lot of times, if you're sitting in a Sufi tradition, this is your nafs up here. So you're sitting, you know, very specifically when you sit there. So it's a.
Just listening to you explain to the previous questioner about how the pillars have to be discovered in yourself and through yourself, it strikes me very much that that is precisely the method by which that energy needs to be grounded, that it can't be grounded any other way. Excuse me. But by the individual effort and through the individual expression of our particular energies, that that's the only way the symphony can be played and brought here rather than simply being an unmanifested form of all that.
Yeah. Yeah, and like, you know, for myself, when I speak about my pillars, let's say, you know, it's prayer, it's meditation, it's inquiry, it's remembrance. You know, over the years, you know, as a certain aspect became important and seemed necessary for my unfoldment, it was brought in. And so some of you may pray and some of you don't, but you sit in remembrance, which to me is also a form of prayer. And so that's why I say that through intuition and insight, you will be shown what your pillars are going to be. And it is the idea that it brings it into manifested form for you. You get roots, you get really grounded in it, so that, you know, if a big wind comes along, it's not just going to fall over and you have to build it all again. I think, again, this idea that you are uniquely designed for a unique path that you're to walk or run or fly home. And so your attraction to a heart meditation is probably because you have an affinity for love. And some of you have maybe stayed away from all the theoretical part because it's a training to be able to understand these manuscripts that have been written about Sufism. You have to, you know, understand, unless you get insight, because you can get a transmission off of one of these and just understand it. But, you know, for the most part, people spend years in school learning Arabic and Persian and Urdu and what all the symbolism means in the stories. And so that's their pillar. That's what's, you know, their foundation. Because you need something. I think, maybe some people think you don't, but I think you need a foundation. But then, you know, I guess I'm like Llewellyn. I have been trained traditionally, so it's all I know.
It strikes me that if you didn't have the foundation, the energy wouldn't be grounded.
Yeah. But also, I would not have been able to have the connection to the divine that I had, because I wouldn't have been able to withstand what came, you know. I mean, I'd probably be institutionalized or something, but. You know, where things like, you know, that you don't imagine, but you're still going, this has to be God too. If it's all God, this has to be God too, no matter what's going on. And so, if you don't have that foundation, I don't know how you get through everything that you have to go through. The blood and gut stuff that we were talking about earlier with Llewellyn.
Do you think it's important or necessary to be consciously aware of what your foundation is? I mean, this is the first I've ever heard of the six pillars, and my brain is curious, but I'm not all that interested. But just now when you went on and said
what you did about foundations, I said, oh yeah, pillars, that they're the foundation.
It holds a house up.
That's I remembered that.
And the house that you're going to set fire to and burn down.
Can your foundation be your passionate longing? I mean, can that be considered the foundation?
Yes. I mean, see, the thing is you get to answer that question for yourself, really. I mean, some people might say that's just, say, a key or a step. But when you somewhat sit in a tradition, there is a foundation to that tradition. You know, so you are somewhat sitting in that. And yes, to have as much conscious awareness of what that foundation is would probably be good. But some of you have maybe been brought up, you know, with a certain foundation, and you turned away from it because it didn't offer you what it is that you felt you needed for your journey. And so you sought somewhere else, and then you found, you know, a place that you felt you could put roots, you know, that you call, you know, at least home on this plane, that would help you to, you know, go through all the steps and stages that you go through to realize your true home. And so usually that helps with that.
Meaning that if you left a tradition that you were brought up with, that helps to...
Well, if you've turned away from it, I mean, I don't know how we can really turn away from them in the true sense, because they're so a part of our being at this point. You know, you have, if you were Christian, you have Christian archetypes that are fully present in you. I don't see how you could really ever, if you saw a cross, never think of Jesus or, you know, that kind of thing. But it's more that you just felt it isn't going to be a way for me to really journey, that I can't stay confined within this type of structure. I need something a little bit more free that allows me to investigate more, that it isn't going to be an authority telling me that it's this and this and this and this. You want to find out for yourself. You have some curiosity, because what they were telling you just isn't jiving with what you're experiencing for yourself, what life is showing you. And so you set off, and, you know, hopefully you found a path now that you're walking on. And hopefully the path you're walking on has something substantial underneath it. Because when you burn the house down, that's still going to be there. But the pillars would be like, you know, suppose you were in a tradition where they didn't meditate, but you really felt drawn to that. And so maybe that's why you decided to leave where you were before. My first 20 years, you know, on my path, well, not the first, but a substantial block of 20 years, I didn't meditate, I did contemplation. So, but as soon as, you know, intuition and insight told me that meditation should be added to my practice, I did. And the same with prayer and inquiry and remembrance. But I had had a foundation in truth that, you know, I've always stood on. And in the beginning, it was a relative truth for sure, and probably in degree it still is. But, you know, when you look at certain concepts and ideas for 20 years, you've stripped them pretty much of beliefs and customs and things like that. And then you start actually living that truth in your life, so you know it has a bit of validity for you then. But if your truths are not lived in life, So they aren't valid for you other than as someone presented them to you. I'd look at that also. You know, to be able to really reflect what it is that you understand to be true. You know, it's like when someone looks at you, then they see that mirror that is showing them a truth also that you've unfolded within yourself. So it's like a gift that you give to someone when you try to live your understanding and not just keep it within yourself and something that happens in your bedroom, you know, from 4 to 6 in the morning before you go to work. I'm sure you're all being shown insights that you could work with and live. Are there any more questions? Are we to go to lunch now? It's that time.
And then I have a request.
Yes.
Would you be willing to read again for us? Start all your network of friends.
There is in God, some say, a deep but dazzling darkness. I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. What wisdom is and how she came into being, I will relate. I will conceal no mysteries from you, but will track her from just beginnings and bring the knowledge of her into the open. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there was no depth, I was brought forth, and when there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. Wisdom has built her house, she has set up her 7 pillars, she has slaughtered her beast, she has mixed her wine, she has also set her table. She has sent out her maids to call from the highest places in town. Whoever is simple, let them turn in here. Walk in the way of insight. It is I who am you, and it is you who are me. And wherever you are, I am there, for I am sown in all. And you collect me from wherever you wish. And whenever you collect me, it is your own self that you collect. I will again make instruction shine forth like the dawn, and I will make it shine afar. I will again pour out teaching like prophecy and leave it to all future generations. I wish I could show you when you are lonely or in darkness, the astonishing light of your own being.